city structure right this summer. It's not really counted. I just gotta rearrange my papers, see what I can see. That I didn't want to get. I said earlier that I know a lot of people that Dobbin is sure, but none of them are here tonight, so. I'm not gonna be insulted, but if you ask them, they'll tell you that Geltus doesn't make jokes, and it's true. So I'm really not gonna start with a joke, because it's just not my thing. So, there's a company in Eretz Yisrael, a wine company. I don't drink wine, but it's spelled, or it sounds like Barkan. Is that the way it's pronounced? What? Barkan wine. Okay, it's an Israeli wine company. And they make wine in Eretz Yisrael. They had Ashgocha. I don't know exactly who the Ashgocha was with. Before Barkan. They had Ashgocha with somebody. And they decided that they wanted to get an additional Ashgocha with the Badatz, so that they can expand their sales market to people that only eat a heksher that has the heksher of the Badatz. So the Mashgichim from the Badatz, or Rabbanu of the Badatz, came into the wine factory, and they saw that there was three Ethiopian, I'm going to say people, of course they're Jews, but I'm going to say for the purposes of this speech at the moment, three Ethiopian people working there. And they asked that those three people, because it's a wine factory, be put on, let's call it, disactive duty, and not to work within the areas where the wine is touched until they can verify the status of their Jewishness, of their Yiddishkeit. And until that happens, we want them to step aside until we can be mavar. The press got a hold of this request, and of course it got way exaggerated and blown out of proportion, that they were racist and that they don't think they're Eden. But we're going to see very shortly that that really wasn't the case. But the question really is, what was their concerns? Why, after so many years of these Ethiopian Jews being in Eretz Yisrael, what was the issue that they had? And why is it that the Sephardic chief rabbi, who's a Rav Avadia Yosef's son, went all out saying you had no right to tell them to step aside, they're Yid. So that's what we're going to discuss tonight. We're going to discuss very, very little history, but we do need a little bit of history to appreciate the halacha part of this drasha. So in the 1950s, there were some of these Ethiopian people that somehow figured out to make their way to Eretz Yisrael. Very few. They came on the door, they knocked on Eretz Yisrael, and they said, listen, we're Jews, and we're coming home. We're coming home. And the Yidden that were in Eretz Yisrael looked at them and said, excuse me? You what? Where are you from? You're Jewish? I mean, what? You don't even look Jewish, you don't sound Jewish. Half the things you do, they may have a taste or a resemblance of Yiddishkeit, but certainly nothing to accord it the way we follow our Torah. And they said back, hold on a minute, I don't know who you are. But as far as we know, we're the only Jews that live in this world. We're the authentic Jews. We have a Kabbalah going back from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And I don't know who you think you are, but we thought that we're the only Jews, and I don't think you're Jewish. So, excuse me. So, this happened in the 1950s. There was very few amount of people. And at the time of Herzog, Zatzal was the Rav HaRoshi. So he dealt with the situation, but there were very few people. So it didn't require any major, there was no major upheaval on this issue. In 1984, there was this massive famine in Ethiopia. And these people lived, if you know what third worldism is, this is fourth world, okay? So it's below third world. They live in huts and villages and a mountain with complete cut off from the rest of the world. There was a famine, and they were in danger of being killed out. So the Mossad heard about it and learned about the information, and they were working on a plan. The Ethiopian government was also involved with Sudan at the time, very anti-Semitic government, had no interest in letting these people go out of the country. So the Mossad and the CIA, the United States government, was very involved in planning this massive political, diplomatic, and military effort to get these people out, get them out of Ethiopia. And the first code name for the mission was called Operation Moses, and they got about 8,000 of these people out. Later in 1990s, they got another 16,000 people out. But while this massive political and diplomatic effort was being worked on to get these people out, at the same time there was a massive machloikus in the poskim as to what and how to deal with these people. And the question was as follows. Number one, who are they? Are they Yidden or are they Goyim? Okay. Now, if they're Goyim, we have absolutely no interest in bringing Goyim to Eretz Yisrael. I'm just going to give one example of how halachically that can be a problem. You know, if a Goy comes into a hospital on Shabbos, a Yiddish doctor technically is not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a Goy. A Yid can be Mechal Shabbos to save a Yid. Can't be Mechal Shabbos to save a Goy. Now the fact that Hatzolah has a heter, because we want Hatzolah to function, to be able to save Yidden, is a heter. But to go l'tchatchila, to bring thousands of goyim into Eretz Yisrael, and with the possibility of having to be Mechal Shabbos, I'm only giving one example, is a problem. So why would we do such a thing like that? Number two, if they're goyim and you say, listen, let them be Megayer, okay. Being Megayer is not so simple. To be Megayer in HaTorah, you need, number one, to accept Kol HaTorah Kula Midyaraisa and Midrabbanan. Even to be a Ger Midyaraisa, you have to mekabel all mitzvahs Drabbanan. Okay? There's no such thing as a Chiloni in Eretz Yisrael that becomes a Ger. If you become a Ger, you have to keep every single mitzvah in the Torah. It didn't sound like that they were ready to do all that, especially they had their Minhagim for 2,000 years, although it resembled very little to what we do. Didn't sound like they were ready to do that. Number two, in order to do Geiris, you need to do Hatofas Dam Bris. Even though these people had Mila, but there's still a procedure that has to be done. It's not a major procedure, but the optics of telling these people who thought that they were the only Jews in the world, and in order to come to Eretz Yisrael, we have to perform this procedure and roll you into a medical hospital, the optics of this was really terrible. And number three, the Jewish religion, or Yiddishkeit, we're not into proselytizing. We're not looking to make Geirim. We don't have to make Geirim. So if they're Goyim, we have absolutely no interest in bringing them here. If they want to come anyways and they want to be Geirim, it doesn't sound like they're ready to mekabel Kol HaTorah Kula the way they want it to. So these are the problems. This was the question that they were facing. So the Tzitz Eliezer Reb Waldenberg was the leader of Big Poisek at that time, and he came out very, very strongly against saving these people and bringing them to Eretz Yisrael. And he said in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a group of people called the Tzedoikim. You've heard about them. The Tzedoikim were people that were not Mekabel Torah Shabbat Peh. They did away with the whole Gemara. They were only Mekabel the Torah as it's purely written. Okay? And they were Rishonim. They were Rishonim. Now, Chazal was successful in ending this practice of the Tzedoikim. However, they popped up again about 1,000 years later, they popped up again in the time of the Rambam, and they had a new name. They were called Karoyim. Karoyim comes from the word Krah, like Mikra, Krah. They followed only the Torah. But they took the Torah literally, not the way we understand it. So if it says ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye, they would understand it to mean you got to knock the guys out. So that's not our Torah. Our Torah is with Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Tzitz Eliezer says that these are at best, I don't think they're Jewish at all. So I don't think we need to save them or do anything with them. At best, they're karoim. The Rambam says that a karoi, you have to kill him. If you have the chance to kill him, you mamash kill him. So you don't want to say we're going to kill them, of course, but to say that I have to go out of our way, spend money, do whatever we have to do, bring them in Eretz Yisrael, not interested, there's no mitzvah to do it, fakir, you shouldn't do it. So if they're goyim, we're not interested in them. If they're karoim, they're rishonim, we're also not interested in them. By the way, if you go to the old city, if you go to the Kaiser Plaza, and you walk up the stairs, the first street, there's like a street called Karaite Street in English. There is a shul of Karoyim. It's there for like 800 years already, or so they claim. So it's one little shul, but they still have something over there. And on top of all of that, let's assume they are Yidden. I've got a serious problem. You know, they take the Torah literally, which is not the way we learn the Torah. For example, it says in the Torah, "V'rochat v'sorei b'mayim." We learn that means a mikvah. They learn that you take a pot of water and you dump it over someone's head. Okay? It doesn't say in the Torah anywhere that a person, a father, is not allowed to marry his daughter. We learn it out from a drasha. They don't have these drushes. They're not goyris our drushes. So who says over the thousands of years, or the 1800 or 2000 years, since the Churban, that they claim that they've been Yidden, they're not having their own halachas with marriage? Who knows what they did? They're probably married into things that we're not allowed to. Therefore, they are Sufek Mamzerim. And therefore, even if they want to come here and be Megar, we have a problem because they won't be able to marry. And if they can't marry, we really don't want him here. Why don't we want him here? So he brings the Ramah, and when the Ramah discusses the Karoim, the Ramah's Loshen is like this. HaKaroim also l'schaten b'hem. You cannot have chasen with them. Why? Because they're Sufek Mamzerim. V'ein mekablim noisoy. The words are that we're not mekabel them im roitzim lachzor. If they want to return, we're not mekabel them. So the strict reading of the Ramah is that we're not interested in having them come marry in, even if they want to do tshuva. Tzitz Eliezer says no. The problem here is, the Ramah's problem with this karoim was, it's very easy in halacha to get married. To get married to a woman, midirais, is very simple. A man or a chosin gives a girl a shava pruta, and he doesn't have to say he married me. If it's understood that it's for the purpose of marriage, mina Torah, mina Araisa, you're married, you're done. That's it. You give her a gift, it's for marriage, you're done. In order to break a marriage, you need a get. In order to do a kosher get, you got to learn a Masechtas Gittin. It's very, very complicated. The rules of Gittin on how to write a get, where to write it, the Eidim, what should be in there, it's very complicated. They have no clue. So it's very possible, the Ramah says, that these Karoim were married Midiraisa. They do their own form of get, which is not a get. So that they become an Ashes Ish. The woman becomes an Ashes Ish. She marries someone else. She has another child. Yet Mom's there. So the Ramah is saying these Karoim, the way the Tzitz Eliezer explains it, ein roitzim lachzer, don't be makar of them. Tell Chabad, tell Project Inspire, don't go near these people, don't bring them into shul, don't invite them for Shabbos, because we don't want to start with mamzerim. They start, you makar of them, you end up marrying them. And besides the terrible isser of mamzeris, it's also, it destroys the yichas. And then to top it all off, he brings the Shitas the Radvaz. The Radvaz lived in Egypt, Mitzrayim, about 500 years ago. And there was a woman 500 years ago that lived in Ethiopia. Apparently that part of the world has been very tumultuous for a long time. And 500 years ago there was some type of war. And she was married. She said that her husband got killed in the war. She got captured. She got sold as a slave. She was shipped up north to the northern part of Africa, to Egypt. And in those days, if you needed a goita, you didn't call an agency or call a friend. You went to Walmart, you went to the market, you found a goita. You purchased her, him or her, she works for you. And that was the end of it. Nothing to do until she couldn't work anymore. So this yid from Mitzrayim went and bought this woman. And apparently he wasn't such an erlich person. He liked her. She was working for him. He liked her. He decided he's going to marry her. They had a child. I guess the son went to yeshiva or something like that. He grew up. He wanted to marry a nice Jewish girl. Why not? My father's a Jew. My mother's a Jew. I want to marry the nice Egyptian girl. What's the problem? So the Shaila came to the Radvaz. Now the Radvaz was dealing with a specific problem, because she said that her husband died during war. Now, Chazal are very weary to believe anyone, as far as Edus, to say that they died in the middle of war. Because if the husband's still alive, she's an Ashes Ish, she can't remarry. And the problem is that in the fog of war, you might think someone died. A house collapses, a bomb goes off, a missile gets shot. So you think the person dies. So you say the person dies. But it doesn't mean that the person really died. So Chazal are very weary about Edus in wartime. So the Radvaz had to deal with whether she can be believed in the testimony that she said that her first husband really died, because she ended up marrying the second husband in Egypt. So we're not going to go into the Aguna Shaila, but in the course of that discussion, the Radvaz comes out with the following. Number one, I did my research and said, and these people from Ethiopia are from Shevet Dan, which means when they got into Golis after the first Beis HaMikdash, the Ten Shvatim were dispersed. I did my research. I figured out that that tribe of people down there are from Shevet Dan. Therefore, they are Yidden. Because they are Yidden, we have to do everything in our power to help them and save them, to do whatever we can to help them.
True.
But I'm very concerned about the Mamzeris issue, as we mentioned earlier. Because it's very easy to get married, Minat Torah, but it's very difficult to get divorced. And if you don't know how to get divorced over 2,000 years, inevitably, people were relying on divorces and remarrying. So, Zokta Tzitz Eliezer, I don't agree with the Radvaz, I don't think they're Yidden at all, but let's just say that they are from Shevet Dan. He said himself that he's worried about Mamzer. Therefore, I want to have them not come to Eretz Yisrael, don't start, I don't want them, I don't need them here. And he quoted many Gedolim of that time. Not everyone said that they shouldn't come, but apparently this issue had come up. Moshe, Rav Shach, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rabbi Yashiv, everyone said at the very least, if they're coming, they need to at least be mekabel geiros. They need a tofes dan bris, they have to be mekabel, they will do all mitzvahs d'orais d'rabbanon min haTorah. Now, that tofes dan bris was a really tough call, especially for those that wanted to argue on the Tzitz Eliezer. So they said, they quoted Shmuel Salant, who had an interesting psalm. Shmuel Salant said there was a Jewish man that married Nebuchad Goita. He had a child. But he was a Jew, and child was born. He hired a moel. He gave this Goyish son of his a bris. The child turned 18, and they figured out that they have to be Megarid's child because his mother was a Goy. So the question was, does he need a tofes dan bris? And Shmuel Salant says that he doesn't need a tofes dan bris because he had a mila already. So what's the difference? So he was a guy, but he had mila already. So they wanted to say, what do you need on these people at tofes dan bris? Because that was really a tough sell. It was really a tough sell. So what do you need it for? They are gemalot already. They had a mila. The Tzitz Eliezer said no. Because in that case of Shmuel Salant, the father was a yid. A yid. Or the moel was a yid that makes a mila, even on a goy, the mila is a mila. But a goy cannot be mal a child. If he's mal a child, the mila is no good. It's too late already, it's done. But Yavatul Amitzus, I say, I don't believe that they're yidden, or at most it's a suffix if they're yidden. So on that suffix, a goy or a suffix yid that did a bris is not a bris. So therefore he held steadfast that at the very least they're going to need a tofes dan.
A tzedukim who's a mile,
I'm not sure.
Because they're like tzedukim.
No, but he felt that they were goyim, and most of the rabbanim felt that misafik, we can't be sure that they came. So the Radvaz said 500 years ago came from Dan. Who knows what happened in the last 500 years? So therefore, misafik, we can't go wrong. And if you're coming to Eretz Yisrael and you want to be a Yid, and you want to have a Chal Shabbos for you, whatever other halachas they are, there's a minimum that you have to accept upon yourself to become a Jew.
How does that help when I'm
there? Well, it doesn't. You're right, it doesn't. He was not interested in them coming anyways. But at the very least, if you're going to bring him here against my will, I'm telling you now, he said, in order for them to be considered Yidden, and I only gave one example of being the Chal Shabbos, there are others, but it won't help for marriage among Zeus. That's why he did not want them at all. Is Rav Avadya Yosef, it's going back, 30-something years ago, was very, very, very unhappy with his son. Very unhappy with his son. Now, it happens to be that he lived in Mitzrayim also, and he happened to have been a Sfardi, and the Ritvaz was also a Sfardi, but I don't think that has anything to do with it. But he says, the Radvaz was a Godel and Poisek Ador. He lived in the time of the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch. And he said they're from Shevet Dan. If they're from Shevet Dan, and he said that they're Yidden. Who are you to question someone that paskid 500 years ago on something? He says, imagine I come into any of you here in this room and say, by the way, I know you've been living your whole life as a Yid, but I just want to let you know, by the way, I know something about your family. It is, you're not a Jew. The Gemara in Kedushin says that if someone has a chazoko, or it's muchzak, that he's a Yid and he lived as a Yid. The only way to passel him is to bring two Edim that say Edis specifically that we know for a fact he's not a Yid. Without someone, two Edim saying for a fact we know, just to create a cloud over the ear, you can't destroy a person's Yichus. Is the Radvaz said they're Yidin? If you bring me two Edim to prove otherwise, it's fine. But just with a chashash and to create this fakus and a cloud over it, you cannot destroy someone's Yichus. I can't destroy anyone's Yichus in this room, and you can't destroy their Yichus either. So I don't think they need Geiris, they don't need that toughest Dan Bris, and they are Yidin. That's what he held. Now, he says that he was, we're going to get to the Mamzeres. Now, he said that he was in receipt of a letter for Moshe Feinstein. This was in the last life, the last year that Moshe was alive. Moshe wasn't writing many long tshuvas at the time. He has something very short about it. I don't know where this letter is, but Rav Avadia quotes that he saw this letter from Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that he wasn't sure if the Radvaz did the research properly, if when the Radvaz said it was from Shevet Dan, he really meant that he was sure that they were from Shevet Dan. Or it could be he thought somehow that he casted some doubt to the Radvaz's researcher's assertion that they were from Shevet Dan. And Rav Avadia Yosef was very, very unhappy about that. And he says, Rav Moshe, I'm going to bring you a raya that you are wrong. And he brings the Gemara in Chulin that says, Sar Yehoshua ben Zeruah, that was his name, Yehoshua ben Zeruah, hey, he said, Edis al Rebbe, on Rebbe, Shu Ochal Yerech Bebeisham. There was a machloikis as to what areas outside Eretz Yisrael are mechuyev and trumas and maisis midrabbanon, like Eretz Yisrael, not but the arayis midrabbanon. So Yeshua ben Zeruah was made that I saw Rebbe eat vegetables without taking trumas and maisis in the city of Beishan, which is on the border of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that is a raya that in Beishan there's no inyan chazal and never misaki trumas and maisis. So the Gemara says, listen, Choziman Gavri Rabba Asrilel, who said this Edis? Yeshua ben Zeruah, and Amoira said Edis that he saw it. Finished. He's a Gavri Rabba. He said it. This is not a halach. It's a halachic question. But you can't argue on a fact. He said he saw Rebbe eating without it. Zok to Gemara, if he said he saw it. You can't question it. So Zok to Avad Yosef, if the Radvaz said that they're from Shevet Dan, he said it. You have no right to question someone from 500 years ago that confirmed and affirmed that they are Yidden and they are from Shevet Dan. Okay. So he says, done deal. They're Yidden, and that's the end of it. They don't need Geiris, they don't need a Sefer. However, sorry. Rav Moshe said they need Geiris Misafir. Yeah. The problem is, what everyone I keep on hearing in the background, okay, well, what about the Manzeris part? You know, we had a good argument. What did it do with Manzeris? So, what Rav Avadia had to do was, he had to figure out a way to invalidate every single marriage for the last, I don't know, hundreds or maybe thousands of years of these people, and to come up with a way that they never got married. If they never got married, then they never can, they don't need to get divorced. So they had children out of wedlock. Not a good thing. You don't want to give them shadach for them? You don't want to let them into your school? No problem. I'll set up schools for them. But I got to figure out a way that they were never married. Okay. So we know the Gemara in Kedushin says, first Mishnah, I'm sure we all know, there's three ways to be a Kaddish Misha. Kesef, Shtar, Bi. Okay, so let's start with kesef, right? You give a woman, you give a kala, person gives a kala, a shava pruta, it could be anything a shava pruta, she's mekudeshes. But you gotta give, you gotta own it, you gotta give it. So he says, I did a lot of research, I interviewed a lot of these Ethiopians, and I figured out that at their marriage ceremony, the chosin gives absolutely nothing to the kala. The chosin's parents buy a gift and give it to the kala. The kala's parents go out to the jewelry store, buy a nice watch or whatever they had in the hut over there, and give it to the chosin. But the chosin doesn't give anything to the kala. So there's no kesef. Kesef is zara. No kedusha. Shtar, they don't use a shtar. Most people don't use a shtar. So there's nothing to talk about. The problem is the Gemara kedusha says when it comes to beer, how you mekadosh an issue with beer. The Gemara says, hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide beer. All you have to know is they get married, they move into an apartment together, they live in a house together. As long as someone knows that they live together in an apartment, they meyachid together, hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide beer. Now, how do you get around this one? If they get married, how do you get around this? So before I tell you how he gets around it, we're going to jump back about 40 or so years to a different shaila, a very similar shaila that happened here in America. There were a lot of people that came here to America in the 1800s that were Jewish, and over time, of course, unfortunately, became non-from. You had the conservative and the reforms that were taking over, and you know, unfortunately, a lot of Yidden fell under their auspices. So you had a man, a Jewish man, that goes to his rabbi, the Reform rabbi, if you can call him that, and they have a ceremony, and he marries this girl. They get married, and they want to get divorced. So do they go to the rabbi? Does the rabbi even do divorces? Probably not. He says, go to your lawyer, let him write up divorce papers, and get divorced. The rabbi says, what do you want from me? They got divorced. And she went ahead and married to another nice. Her parents only wanted a Jewish boy. I don't care about anything else. Just make sure you marry a Jewish boy. You don't want like the first one, go to the second one. So she marries a Jewish, another Jewish man. They have a child. Child goes to college. Chabad guy got a hold of him. Another guy got a hold of him. He becomes from, he's a Jewish kid, he becomes from, he wants to marry a nice Jewish girl. But they look into the story here and they find out it's from a second marriage. They were married from a conservative rabbi. There's no get, there's no nothing. Well, apparently this child's a mamzer. It's a big problem. He's not going to be able to get married. He's a Yid. Can't marry a goy. Can't marry a Yid. Serious problem. So Rabbi Shah said, first of all, if at the wedding ceremony there were no frum people, so there's no edim. Because someone that's a machal Shabbos, not a kosher aid. If Moshe held even a tinnik shenishba, even if he's not a rosha, if he doesn't know anything about the Torah, he's not scared to lie. So he held that if there was no one from, even if you want to say that it's not their fault, they grew up that way, then you don't have anything to worry about. But very often there was someone that was from. You don't have to have kavona at the wedding to be an aid. If you're there and you see it, you're an aid. We do all things. We call the aidim up. Talk to them, but in that Torah, you don't need that. So if you have from people, which very often was the case, then you got a problem because you have a wedding with Aden. So Reb Moshe said no, because he says the definition of kedushin in the Torah is like we say, Hariat Mekudesh Asli Kedas Moshe Yisrael, the way the Torah defines a marriage, not the way you define it. The Torah has rules, and it's kedushin. It's a homosexual kedushin, and we don't all understand it. So we say, "All right, kedas Moshe Yisrael, whatever it is." But we're doing it according to the Torah. But Moshe held, when a conservative or a reform rabbi performs a marriage ceremony, it has absolutely nothing to do with our Torah, and it certainly has nothing to do with kedas Moshe Yisrael. And therefore, that part of the kesef. That whole transaction is null and void because it's not Kedas Moshe. However, he has to deal with, and the shtar again is something that's very uncommon, but he had to deal with the beer part. So there was a Tashbatz in the 1300s who said that if a couple moves in next to you and you know that they live in the apartment together and you're a firm person, your neighbors, that's Edus. The Moshe brings a Rivosh. The Rivosh lived about 700 or 800 years ago. In the time, I don't know exactly where he lived, but clearly there was a lot of problems with the Crusades at that time, and there was a lot of forced conversions, or people were forced to accept Christianity. If not, they were going to lose their lives. So they started converting to Christianity. And slowly they started forgetting the halachas and the Torah as well. So the Rav Ash had a similar problem where someone was out of Yiddishkeit for such a long time. They got married min haTorah, but the same problem. There was no get, and he had to deal with the same problem. Zok to Rivosh, the only time you say, hey, nei, nei, de yichud, hey, nei, nei, de bia, is because we say we have a chazoka, ein boil and bilas nus. No one wants to live a life in sin. The only time you say that you don't want to live a life in sin is someone that's shown your Torah and mitzvahs. The Rivosh says, unfortunately, it's unfortunate, these people converted. Maybe they tried in the beginning to stay from or whatever it is, and they're still yidden. But lemaisa, they're not keeping the Torah. So you can't say that they have a chazoka that they don't want to live a life in sin. So the whole chazoka of ein boil and bilas nus is out the window. No problem. I'm living with someone out of wedlock for no reason of marriage. Let it be in sin. Listen, I'm not a Torah yidden. That's the end of it. Is memela based on this rivosh where Moshe said, if you're not a shomer Torah mitzvahs, you don't have the Kedusha Kesef because the person that was involved in the ceremony has nothing to do with Torah, and you don't have this Chazok of Ein Boil and Bilas Nus, therefore there is no marriage. And he said that if this boy, I mean, we'll try to get a get from the father, the first father, if he's still around, but if we can't arrange it, I'm not going to tie this nice boy who became a Baal Teshuva up for the rest of his life. If he can't get the get, let him get married. Rav Henkin Zatzal, who was very, very upset at Moshe on this pesach. Rav Henkin was an Adam Gadol. Rav Henkin was a very busy man with tzedakas. He was very sharp. He wrote, whenever he wrote a tshuva, he wrote it only in a couple of lines. They're trying to put together his tshuvas now in different svarim. He didn't write a lot. He put together literally a whole sefer on this issue to basically combat this yisoid of Moshe Feinstein. I'm not sure that he did it after Moshe's Pesach or he did it before. I'm not saying that he went specifically against Rav Moshe, but he heard that there was people that had this shita, and he put together his whole sefer. And basically he said like this, Kedushin is not like Rav Moshe said, that it's Kedas Moshe Yisroel. Kedushin is marriage. Yes, marriage. Marriage means the way you call marriage, whatever you call marriage, the way the country calls marriage, the courts call marriage. Go ask two people on the street, what does it mean you get married? I don't know, a man or a woman. They get married, they go live together, that's it. They live their life happily ever after. That's marriage. That is Kedushin. You want to know my raya? The Gemara in Gittin says that kol shtorois ha'olam ba'arkoyesh shalahem ksheir. That means any shtar written, you write a contract to buy a piece of real estate, it's valid l'halocha. You don't have to go to Bezdin to write a shtar. You don't have to go to Bezdin. If you agree to go and write a legal document under the laws of the state or the country that you live in, kol hashtoris kulam is the kosher. Now, that doesn't only mean monetary issues. Kol hashtoris means also kesef shtar. That means a shtar kedushin. If you get married according to the way the government tells you to get married, if the government says you can only get married with a marriage license, and that is your shtar, kol hashtaros kulam is the chosha. So he says, the raya is, now you see that's happening in a goyish court. Does the goyish court know anything about Kedushin? Do they know anything about Kedas Moshe Yisrael? They know absolutely nothing. So therefore, I hold vehemently that if two people are yidden and they intended to get married, I don't care how bad or how many averus they do, the definition of kedushin is very simply marriage, however the world interprets or in the place that you live interprets marriage. I, the rivosh that Rav Moshe wanted to hang his hat on, that said there's a chazok of ein boil and bilas, that's not what the rivosh said, he says. The rivosh nullified the marriages of those anusim that were living in those people that became Christian. He nullified it because he had a problem that there were no kosher edim, because all of the people in those towns and those cities had converted. And therefore, it's a question if they were Rishonim, but they were not Rishonim. But the bottom line is they were all Mechalei Shabbos, they were all Mechalei Torah. So there were no kosher edim. So I hold that the rivosh has nullified the marriage because there's no kosher edim. Here in America, there's plenty of kosher edim. They move into an apartment, yeah, right? Joe and Samantha Friedman live on the fifth floor, Manhattan somewhere. And there's a few other Yidden from a Yidden in the apartment building that know they live there. It's finished. They're married. And therefore, he did not allow this nice boy, to get married. He held that he had a problem with Mamzeris. He had really didn't have any way around it. So going back to our discussion, we're almost finished. So Rav Avadya Yosef, he needed to nullify this, to be a part of these people. So therefore, he said like this. He said a similar verse to Moshe Feinstein. I already determined that the whole marriage ceremony was worthless because the chassid never gave the kala anything. Never gave her anything. So everything that, this whole heinein eidei yichud, heinein eidei bia, everything that happens the rest of their life is al das that they thought that they were getting married in this marriage ceremony. Someone has some water, I'll take it. According to halacha. According to halacha. And therefore, just a job. That's a job. And therefore, everything that happens afterwards is al das of that original kedusha, which was not kedushin. And I don't accept that kedushin is just marriage, like Rav Henke does. No, kedushin means Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and they didn't do it Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So, to summarize, the Badats had an issue because the Tzitz Eliezer and many other Gedolim said, at the very least, they need to have Geiris Misafik, which includes our toughest Dan Bris. We have to make sure that these people that are working there are completely from, that they're keeping the Torah properly. If not, it's a question if they are Yidden or not. And we don't know who is in charge of their geiris or if they had it at all. Why don't we know? Because Rav Avadya Yosef really sort of won the argument, at least with the government, because he was successful in convincing the government in saving all these people and bringing them to Eretz Yisrael, because the mice of the government listened to him and didn't listen to the other gedolim. So if they are relying on Rav Avadya Yosef's side, that they don't need geiris and they're yidden, mamzeris is not a problem for wine, I don't think. It's not a problem for wine. So therefore, they had to be mavar under our rules and the way we understand this halachic problem. We have to understand if these people were megayer properly. And the Sephardic chief rabbi, of course, got all excited and says, it was his father, that paskins, they don't need geiris, you're a racist. I think he said something about racism. There's no reason that you question the English. And that's sort of sums up what's the machlokes.